Hello, welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series called Dumb Tax, where we're looking at the book of Judges and the cycle of the judges. What would happen is the people of Israel would start out being delivered by a judge. They would be just tremendously grateful towards God, but eventually they would fall into apathy and they would be disobedient, and God would allow them to come under oppression so that they would cry out to God. God would raise up a deliverer who would free them from the oppression, and the cycle would go on and on and on. The last judge we looked at was Deborah, who brought about 40 years of, you know, just incredible peace for the people. But then the people fell into sin again, and now God is going to raise up a guy named Gideon in Judges 6 through 8. Here's a passage I want to read to you. It's in Judges 6, verse 11. It says this: Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And while his son Gibeon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where is all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said to him, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Well, if you know the story, then what basically ends up happening is that, you know, Gideon goes through these series of tests he gives God because he wants to make sure that this is really God. And, you know, and I understand he's going up against a foe that is much larger and stronger than he is. So he puts God to all these tests, and God shows that he's faithful. And then God raises up this army. You know, 32,000 men come out from Israel, and God whittles them down to 300. They're armed with torches and with trumpets, and they surround the Amalekite camp. And through, you know, the blowing of horns and the breaking of their of these torches, the glasses that held them, God caused a confusion in the camp, and the Amalekites and the Midianites try to kill each other. All that said, God brings about this incredible victory, but it's really all about God. He's the one who's faithful. The interesting part, though, in the passage, and the reason I read this, is because I want you to imagine, you know, here's Gideon, who's looking around at this life that he has. He's surrounded by enemy. He's hiding from the enemy just to, you know, to get his food and not get it stolen from the enemy. And then God shows up and says, Hey, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And Gideon immediately says, Well, if God were with us, then why is all this happening? Why is all this bad in the world happening? Doesn't that sound familiar? Have you ever talked to someone who said, Well, if God is real, then why is there so much evil in the world? Interestingly enough, if you read the passage directly above what I read, it says that God had sent a prophet to Israel to tell them, basically, to get rid of your false gods. And Gideon himself, what happens directly after this call is that God tells him, I want you to go and tear down your father's false idols and erect an altar to me. Israel had gotten to a place where idol worship was completely normal. To have these Asherah poles and this altars to Baal, it was completely normal for Israel. In fact, when Gideon tore it down and erected an altar to God, the people of Israel wanted to kill him. They were so upset with him. I say all that because the real reason why we see so much struggles is because the world is cursed by sin. And the things around us, we almost get desensitized to it. But when God calls our life, when he wants us to follow him, he's always going to challenge the idols in our life. And we naturally want to say to God, well, where are you? Why aren't you fixing our problem? But God is usually saying, listen, I want you to let go of these things you're living your life for, and I want you to live for me. That's exactly what happened in Gideon's case. If you read, he was really a flawed judge. He did what he was supposed to do. He was faithful, but as you read the end of the story, he made a lot of mistakes. And it just shows that humans, you and I, were so flawed by sin that we're naturally going to go our own way and seek our own glory and look out for ourselves, number one, while God is always trying to show that he's the one that is the dependable deliverer. And it all points to a day when the deliverer would come, Jesus, who is the perfect righteous judge that we all need, because even in our best efforts, we can't fix our own problems. That's why we need the Lord. I would just say wherever you're at, you know, think about the things in your life that kind of stand in the way of you and God. That if God asks you to do something, to let go of something, these are the things you're like, I can't let go of that. Those are the things I think that sometimes we put our trust in and our hope in that get in the way of God's call in our life. So let me just pray for us. Father, I pray that that you would show us, make it very aware to us the things that are in our life that stand in the way of the work you want us to do. Help our hearts to align with yours and to follow your call in our life. Maybe just take a second wherever you're at and just submit your heart to Christ. Well, thank you so much for letting me challenge you with that passage, and have a great week. God bless.